a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant, George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Texans' new Twitter helmet, or new helmet, is getting roasted on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. People seem to dislike it.
I'm going to read some comments from Facebook. Oof, no thank you, writes Tommy. Six thumbs down from Luis. Nope, from Donald. Adam Sanchez, it's the Titans uniform. Jonathan, yikes, I hope that's fake. Shelby, ha ha ha. That one, Marine, I can't believe this got past QC. Tommy Heron, so we thugs now, LOL. That's a weird one. Jason, is that a joke? Trey, USFL, Division II, Hallettsville? Nah, I'm good. Jan, this can't be real.
Mm.
I'm sure, on Facebook, it is all down. All down.
Calling it XFL, that's good. Because that's kind of what it looks like.
I think that's a good dig at something.
Yeah,
if your jersey run. Looks like it belongs in the XFL or the UFL, whatever it is now, and they're celebrating the fact that a million people are watching their games, pathetic. They are. Like, they're boosting that, like, 20% ratings increase from 800,000 to a million people. Like, okay, man.
Hey, I watched it on Saturday.
I've watched it zero
on, it, no, it was on in the studio.
Oh, while you were doing the bullpen from 12
yeah,
to 2 with Brian McDonald?
I was idly looking over.
It's not for me. I can't do it. I don't have enough. Maybe if the Astros really suck.
Honestly.
If the Astros really suck, maybe I'll get. I don't think the Roughnecks are good.
Drill, baby, drill.
Let's see.
I don't know if the Roughnecks are any good.
I'll get
so
to the bottom of that.
That's really the. If the Roughnecks step up in this time of need of sports success in Houston, then maybe I will. We'll focus on. We'll be on a Roughneck show instead of an Astros show. Which of these guys is fixable? We have three players we're going to focus in on. Let's start with Chaz McCormick, Paul. Do you view Chaz McCormick and the struggles that he's going through recently as fixable?
Let's work out. Yeah, I will try to fix it.
Yes, I think he's fine. I think he'll be fine. I think we have enough of a sample size with McCormick to know that, look, he's not going to be a good hitter all season long. He's going to go through his slumps. But I trust Chaz McCormick more than I trust Jake Meyers.
I
trust Dubon more than I trust McCormick.
Yes and yes.
But I don't, this is obviously a bad start, but I don't think this means that Chaz McCormick is not good anymore.
You know what? I think Dusty Baker was right about Chaz McCormick. Last year, Dusty Baker would only play Chaz McCormick in certain matchups.
Mm.
And that's maybe why he didn't play every single day.
Mm.
Maybe Dusty was right. And Chaz can be good.
Few too many banana puddings?
Maybe he's not an everyday guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a matchup guy. So, Chaz McCormick will be fine. But Chaz McCormick also, to me, even going into the season, I was like, he is the, what Jalen Petrie is to the Texans is maybe what Chaz McCormick is to the Astros, where it was so good so early, but, and the hype that we put on these players was too much. Chaz McCormick is a good baseball player, but the way in which he's talked about and put into conversations with the other members of the Astros lineup is not really fair to Chaz, and it's also not realistic. Now, Chaz also, like his brother was on Instagram the other day, had an interesting post. He just posted, stop pointing the finger at each other. And, you know,
so
that's not.
Is this in reference to Astros fans? Is this in reference to Astros players?
Hard to say.
Are people pointing at Chaz in the clubhouse or saying, what happened to your banana pudding diet?
Hard to say.
Stephon Diggs is looking for some banana pudding right now.
Chaz McCormick's brother, this is not the first time that he gets a little chirpy.
I didn't even know that he was a vocal member of Astros social media.
He did this last year when some of the articles were coming back and Chaz was getting kind of dragged through some of it in his playing time. He would just put out these coincidental, I would say, Instagram posts.
Well, if it's Joe, a subtweet towards Astros fans. I think for the most part, no one's really talked about Chaz McCormick.
That's why I don't think it would be towards Astros fans.
Right. Unless they're talking about fingers being pointed at Jose Abreu. But I mean,
yeah.
How could you not point a finger at Jose Abreu? I bet Jose Abreu's pointing a finger at himself right now. He's looking at himself in the mirror. He's like, what the hell's wrong?
I mean,
wrong
Joe Espada is too. Like, I tweeted this yesterday. The back of the baseball card, I think what pisses me off the most about it is that they keep saying this nonsense, and then what happens? When the game matters, they take him out. They put in John Singleton. So, like, they're telling you one thing with their words, but their actions are clearly different.
They don't respect you.
Yeah.
They don't respect us. And look, it's fine. They've had a lot of success. They have a right to be arrogant, but it's going to backfire on you eventually. You're not going to go 100% with all the decisions that you make in a universe that is as random as the sports universe.
So I say Chaz is fine. Chaz will be fine.
I think he'll be okay.
They will fix him. Whatever's going on, he will get out of it. I'm not worried about him.
Try to fix you.
Ryan Pressly. Is he fixable?
I don't think so. I think we're starting to see a decline from Pressly. I think we've seen it already. It's not to say he's a bad pitcher anymore. I'm sure he's going to have some good moments this year. But I think some people are pointing to, hey, he just got moved from his old role to a new role. Okay, understandable. Hader wasn't exactly the earliest signing during the offseason, but dude, it's not like you're out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Your role has changed. You're still getting, if I'm not mistaken, the lights and the
they are
long time. I mean,
which
that's,
I still think is stupid.
That's kind of special treatment, and you're not delivering. I think that Pressly, his skills are starting to erode a bit. It happens to everyone. I'm not holding it against him.
Yeah,
but I am concerned about Presley's struggles. And it's one of the reasons that I was pretty happy that they brought in Josh Hader, though. Again, I don't really like how that contract's going to age.
Yeah, I agree. I think Pressly is, he'll be okay, but I expect Joe Espada at some point to continue to do what Dusty Baker was doing last year at times. And if, let's say, I'm trying to think of a good example. If Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are coming to the plate in the eighth inning or in the seventh inning, that's when you want Abreu. If they're scheduled to come up in the eighth inning, that's when you want Abreu. Presley's role needs to adjust already, I would say, to that. He should not be against the best guys when you're looking at the lineup.
You're moving him down to the seventh then?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be through the seventh. Just however it happens. If like Judge is batting in the eighth or the seventh,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. That's where you want Abreu.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You want Pressly. And they did that a little bit last year where Pressly would be used in lower leverage situations.
How much does ego factor into the decisions that they're making out there?
Stuff, man. It's got to factor a lot.
Because
what you're saying
is 100% correct.
Yeah.
But it does feel like they're already massaging Ryan Presley's ego a bit, even though they were saying, yeah, he's fine. He's happy about it publicly. Yet we never heard Presley's side of the story. Remember?
He still barely talked.
We had Chandler Rome on during the offseason, and Chandler brought up, like, is it not interesting that we haven't heard Presley's side of the story here?
And it was very quickly you heard from everyone involved.
Here's the thing. Eventually, you got to get over the changes that happen and accept them. It's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, hey, I'll speak for myself, you know? Going from hosting a show by myself, now I got a co-host.
Yeah.
You got to adjust. You can't, what, you're going to feel sorry for yourself and cry? You know? Like, no.
I mean, you got to work with me, so I don't know if that's...
No, listen. Don't talk down about yourself now. Now you're like Ryan Pressly and Jose Abreu looking in the mirror. What I'm saying is, when you're...
I promise you I do not look in the mirror and think of myself like Jose Abreu. I'm not in that bad a place in my
that's
life.
That's good.
Well, because he's not hitting 260 yet, so you don't have to grow his goatee.
I feel pretty confident that'll never happen.
Everyone feels sorry for themselves.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through moments
for
like
sure.
That. But he has to get over it. He is handsomely paid for his services. And to what you said, yeah, I agree. And honestly, with the way Montero's pitching, Montero may have pitched his way back into consideration as somebody that you throw out there in the seventh.
Dude,
there
have been
some moments with Montero where I'm like, I'm still like, that's still Rafael Montero.
I know.
But
I'm with you.
This should not be etched in stone. the roles of every single reliever.
Yeah, if Hader is going to put you in the bind that this contract is clearly going to put you in, because like the thing about Josh Hader, and we've talked about this a little bit before, like he went on Unintentional Talk, the Ken Rosenthal and AJ Pruszynski podcast, I think it was, and he talked about how the reason why he stopped pitching more than three outs was because when he was going to arbitration, they were using the lack of saves against him. Well, he has a contract now, and we've seen multiple times where he's only pitched 11 pitches in the ninth inning. The first time they went to extra innings, and he didn't go back out there. He wouldn't go back out there yesterday, and the Astros are now 1-10 in their last 11 extra inning games going back to last year. Holy crap. Really suck in them.
It's 1-10.
They went 1-9 last year.
I know they're going to now score like 31-4 this year, seventh inning on. 1-10.
No, they went 1-8 last year in extra inning games, and they're 0-2 this year. So they can't win in extra innings. So like it's like once again, just like.
With guys left on base in the ninth. Oh, wow. Wow. Look, there should be extenuating circumstances. Cornbread Fred asks a question on the Twitch. How often do closers throw two innings?
I know.
When you're going up against the Braves, though, shouldn't Josh Hader be in consideration to go a little bit longer?
And he's a guy who's done it in the past.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's some that have never been six out guys. Josh Hader has been like a 9-out guy back when he was in Milwaukee.
Exactly. To go back to what I was saying earlier, it's weird that all of a sudden, with Dana Brown and Espada, whoever's making this decision, that all of a sudden the bullpen roles are etched in stone,
mm-hmm.
and there's no ability to adapt or transform. The lineup is weirdly now adaptive, but the bullpen, which is the most unpredictable part of your team on a day-to-day basis, on a year-to-year basis, is all of a sudden like everyone's locked into this specific role. What are we doing?
It's been a while, right, for Josh Hader. It's been 5 years since his last time. It looks like he's done one of these. But at one point, and the reason why, like I understand why Twitch and the text line want to argue with us about this, that closers don't normally do it, but Josh Hader has an MLB record 8 strikeouts in 2.2 innings. That's every single batter he faced. He did it in 2018. In 2017, he went 3 innings, struck out 7 guys. He struck out 6 guys in 2.1 plus innings 4 other times. He is a monster, or was a monster, when you asked him to go more than 1 inning. And the only reason why he stopped is because the Brewers are a dog organization, and they held it against him in arbitration. Those days are over.
This MF spitting.
Yeah.
Like, it
sounds like he's checking the back of the baseball card.
Fact. I'm using a
MLB reference.
A stat muse.
Oh, okay.
I thought you just had that. You should have just taken credit for like, yeah, at least, I know ball.
At least until like the point where you get to pay for it. It's like they only let you see so many stats.
I don't think I'll see more.
On like 2x data. No, sorry, guys. I got enough data in front of me at this point. So, McCormick can be fixed. Do you agree, McCormick? Where are you at with Presley, Sean?
Presley, it's because it seems so mental. That's part of it, is that it seems like...
Well, we hope it's mental.
Actually would kind of more hope that it's physical.
Really? Well, if it's physical, there's no hope if it's physical.
Well, unless he's hurt.
Yeah, or there's ways that you can work around. Like, you can age gracefully. You can age more gracefully than this. Like, you can find... No, if you lose velocity, you can... find ways to become a better pitcher and work around that.
Fair point. I think this is...
If it's mental, then he just can't get over the fact he's not pitching in the ninth.
That is a fair point, Sean. We have on our show rundown, I don't know if we have this inserted for another segment, but I actually wanted to bring this up because I felt like this should be Charles Barkley talking to the Houston Astros. Charles Barkley was asked about Clay Thompson, and TLDR, sports aren't for old people.
Wade Phillips?
Presley's not old, but he's
old in baseball terms.
Up there.
Yeah, he's getting old.
Yeah, like, he's not, old in sports terms.
This is where a guy would start to show show his age a little bit. But
35 years old. He is slightly older than me. December 15th, 1988.
He's been in the bigs for 11 years. It's like there is plenty of guys who don't pitch this well this long.
Am I still the flag football player I used to be? I don't know. I haven't been back out on that field in a bit. But I imagine I'll be a little slower next time I'm back out there.
But what if they're like, yeah, actually, we just want you to be the center.
Well, that's what they did during the media game. I still scored the game-winning touchdown. I was so pissed. That little short guy who randomly is doing stuff at the Rockets, and like he's some, like I don't know, I think he like works at Magic or something like that. This guy like would not get off the field.
Chiotti.
Yeah, 100%. He thought he was like really good at football, and get off the field, dude. Like I'm a god.
Yeah,
out of my effing way.
He's a good dude, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, what? I remember seeing him in the hallways all the time when I was over at the flagship.
Yeah,
he is a great guy. We always used to talk on the way.
He was
out.
At iHeart.
However,
when I was there.
I got pissed off. I was like, yo, let me on the field. But anyway, to bring it back to this,
can I tell you the truth? That's why I'm trying to get in shape because I want to play in the game, but I'm too fat to play in the game right now. Or too out of shape, so
you're not. Believe it or not, you're not. Have the self awareness to get off the field during crunch time moments drove me and DJ Bieniemy crazy.
But that's
during
the thing.
That game.
I have self awareness. I want to be able to perform.
You want to be able to play up
more
to your standard.
I want to be able to play more than four snaps without being out of breath. I don't want to embarrass myself. So that's why I gotta. Think things through.
I got to get back out.
If they put the three of us on one team plus DJ, we would dominate. I'm pretty confident.
DJ and I would dominate. It remains to be seen on you.
Well, come on.
Sean, I've never seen
I could be the Chris Bosh. I could be.
Joe's told me he plays rugby.
Who am I then? If you're Chris Bosh.
Mike Miller?
I'm Ray Allen?
No. Actually, you're Mario Chalmers. You're who we get mad at.
Hey, man, Mario hit some big shots.
Paul guy?
Yeah, no, he hit
like,
some big
shots. Mario hit some big shots.
But he also got screamed at by LeBron and Dwayne Wade for 3 years.
You're right. But, like, he hit some big shots, okay, for the Miami
Heat.
Can
take that away from
so
him.
So I'll catch the game-winning touchdown pass is what we're saying here. All right.
They're giving me the ball. I'll throw a temper tantrum like Stephon Diggs.
We got one more guy to get to.
We don't need to get to him. We don't need to get to Jose Abreu. It's over. It is over. We are not doing that.
Can you fix him to hit 150?
I would rather.
Let's play a game.
150.
Okay, let's start.
Twice his average?
Okay, 110. Yes or no? Can we get to 110?
Yes.
Can we get to 130?
No.
Okay, can we get to 120?
125 is about where I'm at.
Okay.
I hope.
Highest bid, 125.
That's about as high as I can go.
On my live stream yesterday, I had a box of baseball cards, none of whom have won MVP. Like, there were some cool cards in there. There was a Charlie Morton Pittsburgh Pirate card. There was a Michael Brantley Cleveland Indians card. There was a Joe Kelly St. Louis Cardinals card. But I went through all of it. And, you know, I'm even looking at, like, the minor, like, some of these guys, like, on the back of their baseball card, it says, like, Toledo, Albuquerque, because they played full seasons for minor league teams. There was not one that was sub 120. Not one for a full season. And again, it's a lot of year left. Jose Abreu is a notorious slow starter. Just look at the back of the baseball card. I went through at least 20 cards, if not more, of positional players. And not one was sub 100.
All right. The lowest single batting average in Major League Baseball history is Chris Davis, the former Orioles player.
Oh, yeah.
He hit 168 in 2018.
Didn't he have a bunch of home runs?
I think. No, that you're thinking of the other Chris Davis.
Okay.
Chris Davis with a K that was on the A's.
Oh.
But also that Chris Davis hit home runs just not that year.
Damn, and he was on the A's, too. So it's like, does that even count?
The A's and the Orioles.
Well,
the
A's
and the mid-2010s Orioles.
I guess they were good during the during that time, 2018.
Jose Abreu set a record this year. Will Jose Abreu have enough plate appearances to set a single season record?
That's the Ozzie Guillen thing that we talked about.
He shouldn't get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that record because it's hard to play that much and be that bad.
He's only playing because he's expensive.
Yeah, but even then they're not playing him all the time.
No, but he's starting.
Yeah.
And then he's getting pinch hit for by John Singleton, who has a batting average that is nearly four times as high as him. Because and John Singleton, might I add, is batting like 258.
I mean, it's doable.
And it's almost four times as much doing math here.
Yeah, I play him every day.
258's not bad.
Yeah, I would take 258 in that lineup. even though he's got Alex Bregman syndrome, but he's not good enough for it.
What is Alex Bregman syndrome?
He just stares at good pitches for no reason.
No, he drew a huge walk that set up Jose Altuve's home run against the Rangers.
Like, it was yesterday's game. Or
sorry, he sees the ball well.
He's just staring at pitches that
he's
are
he's got
just
a good eye. Like, these umpires can't be trusted.
Some of these are, he's not, they're not good. they're very hittable baseballs, and he's just looking at them.
Joe George is claiming he can hit baseballs now.
No, I would just like him to swing his bat a couple times.
But what if he misses, like, catastrophically?
Well, then he's Jose Abreu. Like, that's oh, well, you're Jose Abreu. You're not good. Who's, like, always a million miles an hour behind a fastball. He's nowhere close.
Just got to get rid of that.
Hey, guess what? We're going to combine breaks. 713-780-3776. We'll go out to the HRMP listener line. Rick. Rick, what's going on?
Rick.
Hey, fellas. Totally agree with y'all's description of the bullpen. And I know it's important to have designated roles and responsibilities, but when y'all mentioned that it could be a mental issue with Presley, and we haven't heard this side of the story, I mean, come on, he's being paid $13 to $14 million a year. He's a pro. I could care less what he thinks about this. If we're asking him to roll out there for a committee start, he needs to do that. If he needs to be the seventh inning guy, the eighth inning guy, the ninth inning guy, just get out there and do your job and get guys out. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. You're a pitcher. Pitch the effing ball.
Just get guys out.
I could only pitch in certain situations. Oh, these guys are Hollywood diva actors now?
Yeah, and I think that's like some of the frustration with Josh Hader is coming because of Presley. Because like Presley can't pitch the ninth and it's not going well. Hader can only pitch the ninth and it's not going well consistently.
I wonder how much of this gets solved by something that you can't, and definitely the Astros couldn't fake early in the season, and we'll see if they can, if it becomes real as we move on, but a great motivator in all things, desperation. At what point does the ninth inning only for Josh Hader, when does that soften when it's like, oh, buddy, we gotta start making up some games
last
here.
Week? Should have. I mean, the players are frustrated. You can see it. Jerry Pena hitting double plays and extra. You can see their frustration.
Yeah. Hey, like, at what point does Presley, like, just have to get over himself? Because it's not, nope, I'm only going to be the eighth inning guy on a team that's going to win 94 games and win Sean and Joe some money. It's like, no, actually, now you're duking it out with the Royals for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
Cool. Do your job now. Like when does it become, hey, we're trying to get any win we can in May. We're going to need you whenever we need you. This isn't a long season anymore. This might be a 162 game season if things don't get right. Like, we don't have to worry about, oh, got to, you know, the ALDS, ALCS, that's where it's really is. I don't know. I don't know about that one, Ryan.
I think the answer is no. Honestly. Like, because I saw Michael Schwab and, like, the non-football baseball fans. No offense, Michael. But offense. Who tried to make Astros fans feel better yesterday on Twitter. Saying that if you broke this down in football terms, the Astros are 0-2
baseball
to start
people.
The season.
Baseball people are always so condescending.
The thing is that since the NFL merger, only 9.5% of NFL teams that started the season 0-2 went to go make the playoffs.
One of them was?
The Houston Texans. So, but it's not like, everyone's like, oh, it's only two games in the NFL. Yeah, 0-2 teams in the NFL don't make the playoffs.
Except for
Houston Texans. So, even that, like, it doesn't.
Patriots first Super Bowl, 0-2.
Shouldn't make you feel that much better.
Is Joey Lupofito the CJ Stroud of the Astros?
Maybe he's the Tom Brady.
I don't know who Joey Lupofito is.
Call him by his proper name, Mario Joseph Lupofito. His first name is Mario.
Who is Joey Lupofito on the Houston Texans?
Nobody. We don't know.
Henry To'o To'o.
He's the guy they're going to draft next week. Yeah. That's who he is. We've never seen him.
Yeah, except he's the guy that everyone's freaking out about, and then the GM is like,
he's freaking out about him.
He's Kool-Aid McKinstry. That's who he is.
I think people are looking at him, they're like, anybody but Abreu.
That's a good point.
It's It's 158 at the bar.
Yeah.
We're looking for a first baseman to go home.
It's legitimately, hey, the season's over, backup quarterback conversation.
Yeah.
It's time to put in Case Keenum back in 2013 when they were going down the toilet.
It's when Davis Mills got benched for Kyle Allen in 2020.
Oh, and then Driscoll came in. Oh, so who's the God. Driscoll? If Lo Perfido is Kyle Allen, then who is the Jeff Driscoll?
I wasn't.
It'd be like teaching someone how to play first base.
Maybe it's Pedro Leon?
I had a copious amount of alcohol before that game between the Texans and the Dolphins where Kyle Allen was under center. I woke up and I was still drunk.
Dude, those are the days.
Still hungover. I remember watching that game, like lying down on my couch, and I'm like, thank God they suck because I have no energy for this. And I fell asleep multiple times, kept looking up. Oh, okay, down 38-0. Oh, 3 minutes into the game? Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's not even like now. They were an irrelevant suck. Like, the Astros are still relevant while they're sucking. The Texans meant nothing.
I used to have Sundays off.
It was nice.
The first football season I ever had.
All right. Let's see. Everyone's new favorite segment, I think. It got good vibes in front of an
audience.
People
didn't like this yesterday, yes.
It is time to go back and get you ready for our draft. The NFL draft starts a week from today. Who should the Texans take? Our unintentionally erotic big board. That's next on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Yeah, it might be a long year for the baseball team in town. So when you're watching these games, you may as well enjoy them while enjoying something else. A little Pendleton Whiskey in your life. Love the original stuff. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's not too sweet. Give me a cocktail glass, big old rock, two fingers worth of that barrel-aged in American oak goodness that is cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood and made with the finest northern grains. Blend it all together, and you're going to satisfy your inner cowboy with a little true Western tradition. You can get Pendleton Whiskey wherever liquor is sold, whether it's a liquor store, or you can order it on drizzly.com, sort of like I would have done on that one, you know, Sunday, looking at the Houston football team getting smoked by the Miami football team. Yeah, a little Pendleton would have made things a lot better. Maybe it would have made a Pendleton-themed Bloody Mary called a Rodeo Mary, one of many drinks you can make. Go to pendletonwhiskey.com to see all the cocktail options you have. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Justin Verlander will be back on the mound for the first time this season tomorrow night.
First game of the season, Friday night.
Opening day, April 19th.
Mm-hmm.
That's tomorrow.
Here's the opening day start.
Opening day. Yep, there we go. Opening day tomorrow.
Old school opening day starter.
Astros 0-0 on the season.
Right.
Texas Rangers tied 7-7 right now versus the Tigers in the top of the eighth. Their young star, Jack Leiter, got rocked. He did pitch 3.2 innings, so... Give him credit for pitching
young
a couple
star, more like young black hole because he sucks.
Yeah. We
got him.
We got a young star at home. His name is Spencer Arrighetti.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the minors though.
Yeah, well,
yeah, because he can't crack this rotation.
It's because it's so good,
so deep.
All right, everyone's new favorite segment. Mm-hmm. Let's get you ready for the NFL draft with our unintentionally erotic big board.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hip.
Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Big thanks to NFL.com's Lance Zierlein for all of these unintentionally erotic words that we're about to share with you. Yesterday, we agreed that the Texans' biggest need in the draft no Steven Nelson. Two guys who are former top 10 picks in C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda. Cornerback is need number one if you have to pick a pick based off of need alone at number 42. We agreed that after that, Joe, defensive tackle is the next big need, right? And take a look at the roster. So, DeNico Autry was, I thought, an awesome signing. A lot of sacks last season. I think the number was 11. But the question about someone like this, is he an every down player at age 33? Especially when the other guys that you have are Foley Fatukasi, Khalil Davis. Khalil Davis played all right for you. Kurt Heinrich played all right for you, but you definitely need defensive tackle depth. You have a lot of defensive ends with Hunter, with Will Anderson, with Derek Barnett, who you brought back, with Mario Edwards, but you do not have defensive tackle depth. So here's what's going to happen. Joe, Sean, with the unintentionally erotic draft reports, I am just going to read the most sexually charged words on these top defensive tackle prospects, and you have to determine whether or not you would be excited about drafting this person.
Okay.
Smash or pass. Got it.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
For smash or pass. For the defensive tackles.
Yeah.
Let's start off with this prospect. A muscular ball of explosiveness.
Okay.
Flexion and power in his lower half create a recipe for disruption as a gap shooter.
I like recipe of destruction. Yeah. Destruction? Yeah.
Muscle ball?
Ball of muscle.
Ball of muscle? Who gap is the muscle shooting. Hamster? What was his name? The running back?
Doug
Martin?
Doug Martin.
Successful at bypassing protection.
It's a bold choice, but yes.
That could be good or bad.
Yeah.
Can be swallowed by size. Lack of length.
Ooh. Man, this one started off really good. It's going downhill fast.
I like this.
Could be worn down by double teams.
I mean, who among us? But he without sin cast the first time. I think solid, but
yeah.
I would be shocked if this is the best one that we get. So, but overall, I like it.
Yeah, I'm hoping for better.
It's not do not draft, but it's not my pants aren't off.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this person is we're not interested in.
Well,
shortly here.
Per NFL.com, this is the top-rated defensive tackle prospect, Texas' own, Byron Murphy II. Are we in or out?
I mean, he's going to get picked.
Smash or pass?
He's going to be picked, dude, 30 picks before the Texans come up, but yes.
Based off the description when you read, I'm a pass.
Wow. Okay, there we go.
I'm passing.
You can bypass protection, though.
Yeah. So can I. Doesn't mean you want to.
Well, I know you can. Joseph Jr. is the evidence.
Okay. So are we putting him on our board? Joe says no.
Yeah, don't tell us the name next
time.
At
the very end. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, smash or pass before we know the name.
Yeah. I mean,
because I'm going to pretend
Sean's
like
biased,
I.
Sean's biased, so we're going to say pass.
All right, we're passing.
Said smash no matter what.
Prospect two. A massive space eater.
Okay.
Whose size will have him plugged.
Okay.
Tall, wide, and extremely powerful.
I like this.
I like this one.
Has ability to crater the pocket.
Okay.
Smash or pass?
Smash.
Smash.
Easy.
Character issues. This is Texas defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat, but he is on the board.
He is Texans worthy.
Yeah. Texans worthy.
Hey, new Texans
cratering worthy. Your pocket.
Watch out.
Up next, prospect three. Size and length don't stand out. Gains extension against bigger opponents.
Okay.
Loose-limbed.
I don't love that.
Has a slide and slap move. But tends to catch. Needs to tighten up.
This is a pass. I mean,
it's a pass for sure.
I feel like all of those are negatives.
Yeah, I didn't hear much positive. Like the second thing you said sounded okay. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, pass.
This is Illinois defensive
tackle. Oh, Johnny.
Jerzon Newton, who's from St. Petersburg, Florida. Shout out to him. Clearwater Central Catholic. Good school. Good football program. So, okay, we're passing on Newton and Murphy, but we are in on Tavondre Sweat entirely based off of Lance Zierlein's graphic erotica.
Yeah, he didn't.
832 says, I'm going to need a cigarette after this segment. I don't even smoke.
All right, prospect four.
Oh, we're in trouble. He can't even read it.
I know.
Below average mass and length. Doesn't have the anchor to muddy gaps.
Okay, no dumper.
Hip explosion into contact.
Ooh, okay. I'd love that.
Gets overtaken by hands. Gets pushed around by double teams. Who's amongst us?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Pass.
You're going to pass?
Dude, these defensive tackles suck.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
At least based off report of me.
At least based off of Lance's erotica here. All right. So we got...
Two passes on the helmet.
Tavondre Sweat is the only smash that we have.
Who was that?
Far.
Yeah, what was that guy's name?
Tavondre Sweat?
No, the most recent one.
Just pass on.
Oh, sorry. Florida State defensive tackle Braden Fisk.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. We have two more prospects to go through at defensive tackle, which we agree is Houston Texans need number two in the draft. This prospect isn't a natural two-gapper.
Okay.
First in with his hands.
Oh, fundamentals.
Some people like that.
It's fast.
Utilizing active hands and feet to find openings.
Freak mode. All right.
Take the ideal frame and girth. Not nearly enough anchor, though, to withstand a pro double team regularly, and will struggle to create adequate pocket push.
The last two are negatives, but I still lean positive.
I like hands and feet.
Hands and feet. And
smash.
And he's not going to get double teamed on the Texans. Come on. That's not an issue.
Good genetics with this one. That's Michigan defensive tackle Chris Jenkins.
All right.
Son, there we go.
Son right. of NFL player Chris Jenkins. Okay.
I like Chris Jenkins. I'm glad we smashed that one.
I think we're going to pass on this one. This is our last defensive tackle.
Hey, come on, man. This is supposed to be like a blind date. You just told me your friend was fat.
She has a great personality.
That's what I said.
This defensive tackle has a great personality.
Will be engulfed by size at times. Undersized inside. Could wear down against NFL size. This sounds like a plus. Has lower body tightness with all those things said before.
This is a pass.
Yeah, pass.
Easy pass.
That's Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State. So there you go.
Ooh, isn't that one of Lance's favorite guys?
We are putting Tavondre Sweat, despite his character concerns, and Chris Jenkins on our big board entirely based off of Lance Zierlein's draft profile erotica.
I love the fact that we're doing the draft show together next Friday night. Location TBD still.
And I'm going to be so professional when I do that.
No, we are using this as our...
Yeah, I was going to say, these are our notes.
You and I are doing the show together with Dell. Dell will catch on. I think Dell will be adaptable in this moment. To say, this is our big board. And he goes, how did you find it? We read their draft profiles erotically. And that's how we made our big board.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to have to, before the draft, we'll have to compile all of it so to really place...
Yeah, no, we need to do a big board.
Real
big board.
Yeah. And then we just tweet it out. This is the Gallant and George big board. And our listeners will know how we got to that conclusion.
Tavondre Sweat's number two.
But no one else will know how we got to this solution.
I like it. I like it. I'm in on this. And then that's how we base the draft grades off of.
409 is questioning us. How can you pass on slide and slap move? That was a tough decision.
It does sound pretty hot.
Yeah.
It. We have to weigh a lot of factors.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Like, there's just certain things you got to figure out.
Sometimes you get caught up in the moment. A lot of times the last two, really outweigh the first three.
I'm really all about the hand action from Chris Jenkins.
Well, the feet action is what kept him
and
in for
feet
me,
too.
Even though I'm not a feet guy.
Defined holes.
I think that's gross. Some I don't understand are. You people.
Yeah, the feed people, that is a vibe.
Just keep it to yourself.
It's yeah, fine. 100%. All right, let's get to garbage time. That's next on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We were talking earlier about how it feels like there's been a lot more Astros games than there actually are. Anyone else feel relieved that there's not a game tonight? I don't want to watch. I'm going to watch Dune 2 tonight, finally.
You're going to finally watch it?
Tonight's tonight. No Astros game.
I'm going to watch the most recent episode of Shogun. It's going
to
be nice.
And I think I'm going to watch, I'm going to try to binge all the episodes of the X-Men 97 because I heard it's very, very good. So I think that's what I'm going to try to do today on an off day.
Okay.
Yeah. Either of you guys happen to see the Phoenix Coyotes stuff last night?
I did not, no.
It was just sad.
Sad?
They brought everyone, because yesterday was their last game in Arizona.
Okay.
So they brought like all these employees on the ice.
Okay.
It just looked depressing.
Oh.
It was one of those things where I was like, I hope I never have to witness something like that of a team I root for.
Why?
Because I don't know, you seem like they're dumping you. But they don't want to dump you. Like they're just gone. But, like you're like it was hard to watch. Like I don't know like what the
broadcasters
Oilers...
seemed really sad about it.
I saw Biz.
I saw that clip. Well, the whoever was doing the play-by-play that night, like sign off, it sounded like he was pretty bummed out.
Yeah, they're not happy.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to leave Phoenix for Utah.
Well,
you're telling me I gotta leave.
Oh, I'm
Scottsdale.
Definitely quitting my job.
I gotta leave Scottsdale to go to Utah.
I was gonna say it sounds like these guys. Weren't going to make the trip no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like that's also why they brought the employees on the ice, too.
Well, that's because one of the things, like, you forget about, like, dude, probably all those people just lost their jobs. Like, I'm sure some of them will translate, but.
Yeah, but there's probably, like, over 100 people that lost their job.
Even, like, all the in-arena workers, like, you're all out of work.
You don't think they're going to, well, yeah, though, yeah.
Because they don't play where the Suns play, either.
I mean, maybe.
They play in like a. Don't they play in like a high school hockey
arena?
They play at Arizona State.
Arizona State, yeah. They play at like a. It looks like the Tillman, the Fertitta Center, like size.
Oh, that's well. The Fertitta Center's nice.
Yeah, but size wise,
it's nice.
Dude, if it's like 10,000 people,
it's like 9,000.
Yeah, because that's the only thing they had to do. So it was
good handwork.
It was just interesting to watch. I'm glad we're doing this draft board. I think we're. What are we doing tomorrow?
Well, what's the next
need? I don't
know
what y'all are doing tomorrow.
Left guard?
Interior guard? Offensive line?
Yeah.
Safety.
Safety
tomorrow?
Yeah.
We'll
safety, offensive line, and then wide receiver just to make Paul man.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking running back.
Oh, yeah, running
back. Yeah, because I think they're going to take a running back in the first.
We'll do running back.
I mean, we have like 5 days.
We
did.
Because technically we can go all the way through Friday.
I think Friday we should be accumulating our big board.
Yeah.
I think that's...
That might take the whole show.
Hi, thanks for listening to Glenn and George plan next week's.
I was just curious. I was just thinking about it. Yeah, so we'll do safety tomorrow.
We could have done this in a meeting after the show.
No,
we're taking people behind the curtain.
Now I can go home right after.
You are the listeners. You are one of us. So if you want us to do another position in safety, send in your argument.
Tell
another
us your position. Favorite positions.
Yeah, tell us your favorite positions.
We want to know what your favorite positions are.
Yep.
So that we can.
What makes you happy?
With this unintentionally erotic draft board.
Let's satisfy you.
What number
you so much?
What number does Kenyon Green wear?
Nice.
He doesn't play enough. Oh, okay.
A nice number. All right, let's get to garbage time.
He's 69.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
It would be easier to remember if he, you know. Played. Hey! Say you're a clerk at a store.
Okay. Done that.
If somebody tried to rob you, would you say, yeah, here you go, or would you reach underneath the table? Get out a blunderbuss.
Yeah, man, money's all yours.
Okay.
Can you leave a little for me? Money. Like, can you pretend like you stole it and I'll pocket some? Well, trying to negotiate on the way out.
Joe's showing his true colors. Yeah. What, that wage ain't enough?
No,
take some
man.
From the register? All right. Well, okay. What if you're not 100% sure what's been pulled on you? Because in Memphis, Tennessee, a man is in jail after attempting to rob a store three times. One of these three times, he used a snake. Reginald Cook is charged with two counts of attempted aggravated robbery.
Okay.
He attempted to rob the Shell convenience store, implying that he had a weapon. He entered the store after being turned away, demanded money from the register. The victim said he kept reaching into his clothing, implying he had a gun, but he left again. At 3:05, Cook entered the store for the third time, but with a 5-foot snake wrapped around his neck. Cook went up to the counter shouting, "Give me the damn money." The affidavit states the victim saw Cook reaching inside his backpack, implying he was armed with a weapon. The victim, the clerk, pulled his gun in self-defense. So this guy went in three times, and the third time he brought in a snake.
Can I say back three times, that's where he went wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the snake part is also bad, but where he actually went wrong was the same audience three straight times.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Also, I would defend myself if I had a gun.
I think I would be like...
And there's a snake, yeah.
I would be like...
This guy seems...
What's the snake going to do? Like, yeah. I want to see you sick the snake on
yeah,
me. I'm curious.
If it's around your neck, you have to assume that it's not a poisonous snake.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a constrictor of some sort.
Or it's...
But it seems like he's in more danger than the person that you're trying to rob.
It's also... Yeah. If he...
It also sounds like not a big snake.
I don't think that he had this thing... 5 feet's pretty big for a snake, but it's not... Yes, it probably won't eat you.
Yeah.
And it's not poisonous. Yeah, I also would be... How did he... Did he train the snake to...
Attack.
Also, wouldn't he have done it the first time if he had it trained?
And if you had a snake trained to get someone to try to rob them, wouldn't you let the snake just, like, slither its way there itself?
I would think so.
You carry it in. You're kind of giving away the surprise.
But that's why he came in the third time with the snake. All the means have been exhausted.
Oh, okay.
Seems like the gun that he supposedly had, he should have pulled that out the first time.
I also don't think he has a gun.
That's why.
I don't think he has a gun. Gotcha. I don't think that snake is trained.
Yeah.
If a psychic takes your money, is it on you?
Yes.
Because the Canadian con man has swindled $175 million worth of money away from victims, has been sentenced to 10 years in jail. What he did was, through a company, he would send letters that looked like they were handwritten to millions of people, generally older people. When asked about his tactics, quote, "Maybe it's not moral, maybe it's BS, but it doesn't mean it's fraud." So he was preying on older folks by sending these personalized letters, and they were sending in money. And he's also twice been convicted of scams by Canadian authorities. Didn't lock him up long enough.
It depends on how old you are.
I feel like if you tell people you're psychic, you are already a con man.
Exactly.
So if you're making that much money, I don't know. I feel like this guy should be innocent here.
I don't know. That's so tough. Like, if you're going after, like, 85-year-old grandmas who are trying to talk to their dead husbands, like...
It's immoral.
It's immoral.
That's where I'm kind of with him. It's immoral, but
like,
if he says
tough.
I'm a psychic and you're an adult, you should know that he is not a psychic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are stupid people out there, man. Like, when I worked at Lids, every single day we had, like, every week we had conference calls, and every single week one of the topics of conversation was people that would say, like, the district managers would call the store and to empty the cash registers, go buy, like, Target and Amazon gift cards, and then send screenshots of said gift cards to phones. Yes. And these dumb kids and some adults would do it. So, yeah, I think it's on them. It's on the old people. But you're still a bad person. You don't just get to go. You're not just getting away with it. All right. That does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. No Astros game tonight. Verlander on the mound tomorrow. We will continue to put together our big board tomorrow on Gallant and George. The Killer Bees with Joel, Jeremy, and Brian are up next. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.